But just as we get going, I just want to point out that there's a thing in here for 6th through 12th grade called Sermon Scribe. They know about it, but you can be praying for our students. We're going to give them a chance to take notes and see how well they take notes. And Kathy Coleman said that we need to do that for adults too. But I don't know if I have any prizes that you guys would want. So I'll think about that. Maybe in January we'll do an adult version of Sermon Scribe. Be kind of fun, maybe. But take notes. You have a space in there, and that means you'll be really prepared for small group when you go to that. Two more announcements, and then we're going to get into this. Ted Peterson is in the hospital. Just be in prayer for him. He's at St. Luke's in room 531. He's one of those guys that doesn't like to tell people, but we know now, so we need to pray for him. If you have a chance to stop up there and see him, do that. I'm not sure when he's going to get out. He was hoping Friday, but it'll probably be tomorrow or the next day. And then Eugene Morton passed away. So just be in prayer for their family. That would be Darlene Peterson's brother. He attended here off and on until the last year he was kind of sick. So just be in prayer for them. The funeral's tomorrow at 10:30 over at Meyer Brothers Funeral. So if you have any more information, just grab me after service. But I just want to start by turning to 1 Peter. We had a little typo on the bulletin, but 1 Peter 2:11 is where I want to start at. I just want to read those couple verses there, and then we'll get into verse 13 later. It says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation." Now, we're actually going to spend 2 weeks in the next few verses, but I wanted to back up a little bit and remind us what Peter is telling us. He's telling us to live good lives. He's telling us to live a life of submission, if you will, but he goes back here with this language back to the beginning of 1 Peter, where he says in verse 1 of chapter 1, to those who are elect exiles. He's saying that our identity is people who do not belong in this world, but we have been exiled. We have been put on this world, on this earth, to live a life for him, but we do not belong here. We belong with the Father. We belong in that perfection. But until then, we are here, and we are supposed to live good lives. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. We are in this world, but not of this world." Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong with the Father. We belong in his presence. That's our perfection, if you will. When we live on this world, we don't have perfection. Obviously. Anybody who's ever been sick, been in trouble, had any major disaster, you're going to know that. We've all had the down times. But our lifestyles, we are to live lives that are Christ-like while we are exiles, while we are on this earth. Our actions are determined by our desires. When you act upon your desires, your behavior is going to change. And we are called in verse 11 to abstain from the passions of this flesh. We're supposed to realize that we have those passions. Those passions are called sin. We're supposed to realize the sin in our life and try to turn from it. Some sins are going to be easier to turn from than others, but we are going to have those sins that try to hold us back. But our identity is in Christ. We don't belong here. We're going to have struggles. Be aware of that. We are going to struggle. There is a war being waged within us. The spirit versus the flesh. There's a war within us, a spiritual war. There's a war around us, a spiritual war. Be aware of that. Be aware of that as we live a life. But keep your conduct in check. Why? Because we have to remember that unbelievers are watching us. Verse 12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, amongst the unbelievers. Keep it honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. The greatest tool that we have for evangelism is following Christ and living His way. He has sent the Spirit. The Spirit was given to us at Pentecost. We talked about that a year ago when we were going through the book of Acts. He gave us the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized and you will receive what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. What's that gift? The indwelling gift. Before that point in our lives, the Spirit was on the outside leading us. Now we are called to be intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to lead us. Allow Him to show us the way and give us life. The problem is, and the struggle we have, is when we don't want to follow. We want to do it like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. I want to do it my way. And that's when things get a little out of joint, right? You can nod your head on that one. Yeah. Thanks, John. That's when things get messed up. Now let me tell you some accusations that were made against Christians in Peter's day. Peter's just not writing some abstract truth. He's writing to Christians going through stuff. There's three of them that I could really pick out. The first one was disloyalty to the state because Christians refused to offer incense or sacrifices to the altars of the emperors. They didn't worship the Roman emperors. They got persecuted for that. They were called atheists because Christians didn't worship a visual God. They didn't have an idol to bow down to. They didn't have necessarily a temple to go to. They followed a God that has gone into heaven to prepare a place for us that is going to come back. Our God is alive. We don't have a statue. We have a God that is alive. He is brought back from the dead. That is something to be excited about. That separates our faith from every other faith that I'm going to call untrue in the world. Our God is alive. We killed Him. He came back to life. And the other one was, this is an obvious one, Paul even talks about this, cannibalism. Because people misunderstood the meaning of eating and drinking the sacraments of the Holy Communion. We were called cannibals. They were called cannibals. Peter wanted his readers to live such good lives amongst these accusations that people would look at them and go, that's not true. That's not how they live. They follow Christ. They live in a different way. The Greek words here translated, the word see, refer to a careful watching over a period of time. A careful watching. That they may see your good deeds. That they may watch you over a period of time and see how you act. And may your actions and your behavior glorify God. On what day? The day of visitation. What is that day? Well, we have two choices. Isaiah 10 verse 3 says judgment. It could be the day of judgment, which maybe, or it could be the day of blessing, Jeremiah 27:22. So the day of visitation may refer to Christ's return on a day that everyone will praise Him, or the day of conversion of a new believer and they have new life, so there is much joy. Either way, it could work here. We have to live good lives. We have to take our identity, and we have to take our identity serious. If we're really going to do life and do life for Christ, our lives are going to look different than the people of this world. Amen? Okay. So I want to make sure you're there with me. Now, that being said, let's move in to the text where he talks about what we like to hear being subject to authority. Be in submission. Verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Verse 15. For this is the will of God. I'm going to say that again. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live such good lives that you do what? Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God, honoring everybody, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. The big idea is our lifestyles, including our attitudes and actions toward the government, will either glorify or shame the name of Christ. Now today, I am not going to get into a political conversation with you. We're not going to be talking about Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, whatever else you are. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, we are Christians. How do we live in this world where we have human institutions that govern us? And if you haven't caught on yet, we are supposed to submit to them. Why? If you get nothing else out of the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of Christ. So, we have about 6 points in the sermon today. Aren't you glad? And they're going to answer a question. How do we act as citizens of the United States of America and the kingdom of God? How do we handle both? Number one, we should submit ourselves to the authority of the government. Be subject to, verse 13, is what the ESV says. If you're using NIV this morning, or submit yourselves to. We should recognize and accept the human government as established by God. God set it up. He put Obama in control. Now, why? Well, maybe we're not on that payroll yet. That's above our pay grade. We don't understand why, but we're supposed to be in submission to our government. And we'll get into in a second what that means. But first, let's go to Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against God and what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Who established the government? Who established our government? God. And why did he do that? The first thing that I can think of is to protect its citizens. We have a government that protects us. God uses our armed forces to protect us. Protect our borders. Gives us laws. Gives us speed limits. Why? So we're not crazy. Tells us not to kill people. Why? Because it'd be chaos. Tells us not to steal. Why? Sets up currency so we can buy things. So we can have or have not. You know? However you want to look at it. That's all set up to protect us. Which, the reverse side of that, number two, he gives us a government to punish wrongdoers. We're back to Romans 13 again, verse 3. For the rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. You see that? You don't have to worry about our government if we're doing and living correctly. He's saying if you're following Jesus, you're going to live correctly. Because you're going to be in obedience to God, right? And you're going to be obedient to Scripture. We're called to be subject to that. Continuing on, verse 3. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. If you're going to decide to drive your vehicle at 80 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour area, you're going to get pulled over. You're going to get taken back to the car, they're going to run a check on you, and you're going to get a ticket, and you're going to have to pay it. That's the sword. But if you don't speed, you don't got to worry about that. Obviously, that is a little thing. But if you go out and decide to be a serial killer, and you get caught, and you get put in jail, and you get the death penalty. I don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because I chose not to follow that desire in my life. Not saying I have that desire. Well, maybe sometimes. But okay, making sure you guys are here with me. Number three, and this is important, to promote the welfare of the society. God wants good for us. And He is good. He's given us new life. He's given us hope. He wants the best for us. The Christian life isn't always an easy life, but God wants the best for us. I believe that. I believe that as Christians, our glass is half full. You know, me and Harlan were talking this morning, and there is persecution coming on America. That's probably because they're stepping away from their godly heritage. I'll say that. I'll also say it's because they're not following God. They have chose to follow something else. But you want to know something interesting? 2 weeks ago, I read an article about China. China, in about 3-4 years, is going to be the biggest Christian population in the world. And it is illegal to be a Christian there. Illegal. I said that to a professor of mine I had in Bible college, because he said that all you really need is a little persecution for the church to really grow. That's interesting. God wants good for us. He gives us a government. Why? So we can have it good. Sometimes we look around and we see, what is the president doing? What kind of law is that? We don't understand that. And we're going to get to that here in a second. That's a question on your mind. That's a question I had on my mind as I was reading this. But we have to understand, God's got it all under control. It's His story. He is the author. He is the creator. We're part of it. He's in control. He knows what's going to happen. So here's a fun one. Somebody asked me this one time. Should we as Christians pay taxes to our government? You read my notes? Yes, we should pay taxes to our government. Matthew 22:21, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Romans 13:7, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. We may not like to pay taxes, but we're called to pay taxes. And let me say something. As we look at our tithing and things like that at the church, the attitude should be, how much of God's money do we get to keep? If God is telling us to be in submission, we should be in submission totally. Not only in the church building, but outside the church. And lastly, we should pray for our government leaders. You know what? Our country more than ever needs that right now. Our president's doing some stuff that I'm not quite sure what he's doing. Nobody else has done it that way. But regardless, we need to pray for them. We need to lift them up. Our governors, our senators. We need to lift them up in prayer. People even locally. Lift them up in prayer. Sometimes it's easy to call in and yell at them. You know what? When was the last time you called in or sent an email to your congressman and said, you know what? I'm praying for you. I want to see you do well. No? Say, I'm a Christian. I understand America. Right now, I understand Jesus more, and you need that love, and you need that wisdom, and you need that courage, regardless of who's in the Oval Office. We are called to pray. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. I urge you then, first of all, that all requests, prayers, and intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all of those in authority. Pray for our leaders. Second point today, we need to submit to the Lord for the Lord's sake. The second part of verse 13, for the Lord's sake. We need to come into submission. We need to love and honor Jesus and God and the Spirit by listening to our authorities. I'm even going to go as far to say, be involved in the political atmosphere. It's okay. But we should submit because God asks us to. Number three, we should submit no matter how bad our government is. Ha! Here we're getting into it now. 13 and 14. To everyone, authority instituted among men, whether to be king as supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. When Peter wrote these words, probably early AD 60s, Nero was the Roman emperor. And do you know what he did? He was the first emperor to persecute Christians. It began with the great fire of Rome that a lot of people say that Nero ordered the fires to be started. And then what did he do? He blamed the Christians. And a lot of Christians were thrown to the dogs, fed to the lions, stoned, crucified, boiled in oil, and burned. Let me tell you something. Peter died during this time. He is writing this, these words, as he is being persecuted by a government. He understands the importance of a life of submission. And church, we are expected to be good Christians, good citizens, even in extreme situations. Number four, the question on everybody's mind. We should submit except when commanded to sin. Acts 4:18-20. So when they called them and charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we had seen and what we have heard. If we must make a choice between obeying the government or obeying God, we must choose to obey God. What about, Kelly, if government permits evil? Example, abortion, homosexual marriage, being forced to bow down to an idol. Because when I read these things, you know what I think of? I think of Daniel. He was called to pray by God and to worship him alone. The governing authorities said no. They caught him doing that, and what'd they do? They threw him into a den of lions. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were charged not to bow down to the giant chocolate bunny, right? Okay. To the huge stature of the emperor. They were thrown into what? A fiery furnace. It's all right to stand your ground. If you're in a situation like that, we should voice our concerns and our beliefs and try to change the laws. But we must do it in a peaceful and respectful way. That's being obedient to God. If we're against abortion, we don't kill abortion doctors. That is not peaceful or respectful. We hold a sign. Fill out petitions. We talk to our government. We pray. Peaceful, respectful. We're not like the Westboro Baptist Church. We disagree with the way people live their lives. We don't go out and we don't protest funerals. We don't throw rocks. We build relationships. We preach the gospel. We pray for them. Because we all have people like that in our lives. My grandma always used to say, you can win more flies with honey than with vinegar. There you go. You know, it's the same way. We're called to follow God, even to the point of death. But we do it in a peaceful and a respectful way. Number five. We should submit to be a witness to unbelievers. 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. The way we live our lives, church, affects everyone around us. If you're a Christian on Sundays, the rest of the week, you're doing whatever you want, I doubt you're a Christian on Sundays. We have to stand for the truth on Sunday mornings just as much as out in the world. How do you live your lives outside these walls? You know, it's interesting talking to visitors that we have and things like that to hear about all the people from our church that invite them to church. I mean, it's neat to hear their comments. We had to come check it out. People kept talking about it. People were telling my wife about it. People were telling me about it. Okay. Okay, God, we'll go. Kind of a thing. And then people come and they see, but they're going to watch how you live. They're going to get to know you. They're going to hear the things that you talk about. They're going to see the things you post on Facebook, the things you post on Twitter. And some of you guys are going, whatever. But I just read a thing this morning. It was a t-shirt that said, I was talking to Santa, and he says, because of your Facebook posts, you're only getting clothes in the Bible for Christmas. So if you understand that joke, that's pretty hilarious. You know? But we're called to be a witness to unbelievers. And the way we act and treat each other affects that witness. And lastly, number six, we should submit as servants of God. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but live as servants of God. Martin Luther said this quote. He said, a Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. But living as servants of God, a Christian is perfectly a dutiful servant of all, subject to all. So we are called to live a life of freedom in Christ. But on the other hand, we are called to put some limits on that freedom. Why? So we can share the gospel with some. Because we're in subject to them. We are not servants of our government. We are servants of God, and He has told us to submit to our government. Do you see the difference? We're called to be what? Christians first in every aspect of our life. And citizens second. And if we live our life that way, let me tell you something. Our citizenship is going to be noticed even more. Because church, we're set apart. We are set apart by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're set apart by the blood of Jesus, and we're set apart by the waters of baptism. Why? So we can live good lives. But here's the best advice that Peter can give us on this subject. Verse 17. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Love non-Christians. Love Christians. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Let me say that in a different way. Love God. Love others. Serve our city. We're supposed to fall down in awe and in worship and fear or respect of God. Knowing the chain of command, knowing what God can do, reading in the Bible going, God can flood the whole world. He can take out cities. But He also can create. He created the earth with what? With a spoken word. Our God is powerful. We're called to honor, to love, to worship that God. But we're also called to love and worship each other. Look around. This is your Christian family. Yeah, we're a bunch of crazos. And you know what? We have a good time. This is your team. Your team to do what? To encourage each other to keep loving people outside these walls. to get to know, to get to understand, to fall in love with them. And each one of us has a different touch in different areas. And we each need that support to love, to worship. And the last one is, the thing that we all need to probably the most prayer for is honor the emperor. Honor our government. Honor our president. Honor our senators, congressmen, representatives. Fill in the blank. We have to honor them. Why? Because God asks us to. It's being in obedience. Following Jesus in that. He was our example. We're called to take up our cross and to follow Him in obedience. And let me tell you something, that is not a pretty picture. As He picked up and carried His cross, He was already been beaten. He was continued to be made fun of, pushed over, mocked, spit upon, stripped. Does that sound like a picnic? We're called to follow that God. Pick up our cross and follow that. Let me tell you, picking up your cross isn't necessarily some problem you have in life. Picking up and following the cross is the whole realm of your Christian walk. One day at a time, being obedient to the Spirit, following the Holy Spirit, following Jesus. So let me ask you, how are you doing this morning? Is there something that you may need to repent of? Now, I was saying some bad words to some people about our government. I posted some bad things. It wasn't very peaceful and it wasn't very respectful. You may need to check that at the door and apologize to those people and say, you know what? I disagree with you, but I'm going to pray for you. I don't know what you do in your personal life, but I hope that you get to know Jesus. And if you have any questions about Jesus, here's my phone number. Someday the president may call you if you give him that. How are you doing with Jesus? Are you being obedient to him in your walk? Are you ready for a life of submission? But Kelly, I like the freedom. Let me tell you guys something. We were chained to sin. Sin was our master. We did what sin told us to do. We came to Jesus. We gave up our rights. When we call him Lord, that's just like calling him master. We're going to follow you. Church, we have to persevere. We have to walk. We have to endure the persecution of our world. We have to endure the craziness sometimes that we see in government, in politics, here on the radio, reading the paper, and we have to look at our scripture. We have to remember the important thing, to love and honor everyone. Love and honor the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. I don't know where you are today with Jesus. I don't know how your walk is. But if you need to repent, I invite you to do that this morning. Because one thing that I know about God is He is never giving up on us. His love never fails. Endures all things. That's our God. I invite you to come forward this morning. If you have a testimony you want to share, if you want to recommit, or if you just want to commit your life to Christ, or maybe you even want to say, you know what, I want to be a part of this place. I want to join the church. I want more information. I invite you to come forward. Share the news with everybody. If you're just starting to question things, you want to have a conversation, set up an appointment with me or one of the elders. We'll get together, we'll talk with you. But today is a day of salvation. It's a day of submission. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the things that you have given us. Father, you've given us new life. You've given us hope. You've given us a church. You've given us jobs. You've given us America to live in. You've given us houses. You've given us friends. You've given us family. And Father, we look at you and sometimes we forget that we have to submit to you and be obedient to you. And Father, that happens as we submit to the secular authorities around us. Father, we see the good that they could be doing, and sometimes it hurts, and we mourn, Father, that they aren't taking advantage of those things. Father, but allow us to step up as a church, as a Christians, part of the kingdom of yours. And Father, we just pray for our government, the governments of this earth, that they may see that you are king. That they may see that you are truly worthy of worship and honor and respect. That they may bow their knee to you now. Father, before your visitation, before you come back and take your church away. Father, allow us to submit today through worship, through taking of your supper. Father, allow us to seek you, Father, because you will find us. Let us submit to the authorities that are over us. It's your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.